failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello and welcome to Century of Lies. Century of Lies is a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. This week is part 3 of our Seattle Hemp Fest special. Today, a bit of introspection as we look at marijuana and the media. The Hemp Fest Hemposium stage is home to panel discussions, keynote speeches, and the like. It's my favorite stage. To me, it kind of makes HempFest into a conference that happens to have a music festival going on out back. It's brilliant. On the last day of HempFest 2016, the Hemposium opened with a panel titled Media, New Respect for Cannabis. The panel was moderated by Dr. Dominic Korva from the Center for the Study of Cannabis and Social Policy. The audio starts with the panel introducing ourselves. So in order, you are about to hear David Knott, president of the Reason Foundation, Shango Lose, publisher of Ganjapreneur, me, and Susan Squibb, the cannabis maven, who writes for The Cannabist.
So you can mark the progression of medical cannabis from state to state to where we have a large number of states. You can mark the progress on legalization. You can mark the level of national electoral politics. I think it's interesting that Gary Johnson, who remains the highest ranking government official really ever to come out for full legalization, he got 1% of the vote 4 years ago, and he's already polling at 10% this time around. And he's highly associated with the marijuana issue. So that signals greater acceptance. We're seeing the move in poll numbers. We're about to legalize in California, and I can talk more about the status of that if people are interested later. We also see, though, in a larger context, this national conversation about criminal justice reform, which covers everything from Black Lives Matters and street policing and body cameras to sentencing reform and the Senate committee on the legal committee actually brought out of committee some very good sentencing reforms in the last cycle. They didn't have the support in the House. But then even, you know, we just see progress on all of these fronts. And I think media is, as what we are and what most of these people do, is we're following the news, we're following the culture, and we're reporting to audiences on what they want to hear about, what they want to talk about, which is what is happening now. So for us, the title of the panel of New Respect is just that the state of play in all of these issues and all of these debates has moved towards greater civil liberties, towards more transparent and accountable law enforcement practices, and to less incarceration for consensual adult behavior. So I'll leave that as my opener.
Okay. My name is Shango Lose. For the last year or so, I've been a co-founder of Ganjapreneur, an online business cannabis resource for news. We only focus on business. I also was the podcast host for the Ganjapreneur.com show, where we talked to folks in the startup cannabis industry, and that was great. We were, you know, about 30,000 listeners a week, so that was a good thing. But now I'm moving forward. I have now started a new podcast called Shaping Fire that focuses on innovation and disruption in the cannabis industry, which is, you know, something that we experience on a daily basis. Now, there's more probably disruption and innovation than there is stability at this point. I'm also here locally from Vashon Island, where I founded the local cannabis trade organization there, which is going through some growing pains right now since the passing of 5052 here in Washington. Our membership has gone from 156 cannabis producers to now 4, because with the dismantling of medical, everybody's either gone out of business or underground. So my specialty is talking to entrepreneurs and folks putting together cannabis startups and the study of the new cannabis media groups themselves.
Good morning, and as Dominic, and thank you very much. That was very kind. Dominic mentioned, my name is Doug McVeigh. I'm the editor of drugwarfact.org. Actually started before me. I lucked into the job, done it for 16 years.
I have also, you'll find my byline a few different places. I write for Celeb Stoner, have a blog there. I'm doing a story on Hempfest for Freedom Leaf magazine. And yes, I have my phone right here with me because I'm keeping my time, but I'm also working on a story right now, which I will not tell you because there are other reporters here and they will steal my story. Because we are all competitive, hungry little and, well, and we want to get our bylines out. That's what it is. And I also do some radio work, which is why it was weird saying a slightly risque word into a microphone just then. I'm a reporter. I do public affairs and news programming at KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon. I just started a show down there called Free Culture Radio, which is about drugs, drug cultures, and the effect of drugs on society. It's inescapable, it's unavoidable, and frankly, it's necessary, so it's a good thing. And I'll be looking at all kinds of drug cultures. In a few months, I'll have a show about cannabis. Next month, though, is, it's Oktoberfest, and it is Portland, so we will have to talk about Portland's favorite drug, which is beer. Media, new respect for cannabis. Wow, interesting. Okay, so you got the cannabis media. There have been folks around for years. There's High Times, a cannabis culture, and then we started getting the technology, so podcasts started, and Russ has 420 Radio, and Casper has Time for Hemp, and now there's Cannabis Radio, which is going on, and I'm one of the shows I do. I also do a weekly radio show called Century of Lies. There's a new episode up with the audio from Friday's Hempfest, including the party. Drugtruth.net, you'll find that. Dean Becker's been doing that radio work for more than 15, 16, 17 years now. Out of KPFT-FM in Houston, Texas. I shouldn't, because technology, you know, podcast, everybody can do this. Yeah, that's the point. Radio is rather more restricted. Print is more restricted. And what's interesting is those media have been taking marijuana and drug policy more seriously. And I think part of it is because we've been consistent. We're not crazy. Well, okay. We've been consistent and we're right about the issues, and they appreciate that. But journalists are also under attack in this country. Their freedom and the freedom to report is being limited. Newspapers are moving toward a more commercial model. Marijuana is interesting and entertaining, so it sells. But real investigative work is tough. Was that 5 minutes or was that just a bell?
It's just a couple of minutes.
Okay, good. I'm going to keep talking.
Yeah.
We're getting a little more respect, but part of it's because some of us are going out there and doing this stuff. Like I say, I've been doing the weed work for a while, drug policy work for a very, very long time. God, I'm tired. But, like I say, we're getting a lot more support. It's not just the cannabis media, it's the mainstream. Okay, it's the bigger media. I work at KBOO. Saying mainstream when you're at an alternative radio station is a little tricky. But, yeah, but it's true. Anyway, I had some great thoughts, and I'm just going to wait for questions because a real rant would probably take a while. And, yeah, that's okay. You're at one of the biggest festivals in the country. It's been a national event for more than a decade. That is, people paid attention to it for that long. There are people all around the country because the media look, and even if it is, hey, look at those crazy hippies. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, look at these crazy hippies. Thousands of people going out there and celebrating their freedom. If you come from Iowa like I do, or you come from a state that's even more backward, this is amazing. This is what's supposed to happen. It's really, really, really encouraging to know that something like that can happen. So, folks where I come from see this kind of stuff, it gives them hope. I mean, thank goodness the broader spread of media because of technology allows us to get this information out to people, just the fact that it happens, out to more and more people, because that's going to make a lot of change and a much better world. And I'm going to sit back.
Hello, I'm Susan Squibb. Thanks so much, Dominic, for inviting me here for the panel. This is my seventh Hempfest. This is my 20th year being involved in cannabis advocacy and hemp businesses. I started writing about 5 years ago. I kind of created this moniker, Cannabis Maven, to sort of capture my knowledge of hemp and cannabis and so others sort of knew. It was also inspired by Malcolm Gladwell's book, The Tipping Point, of what are the people, the roles that are needed to tip something into mainstream acceptance. So there's salesmen, connectors, and mavens. And so I thought, I'm a maven. So I became Cannabis Maven 5 years ago and started writing. First it was with marijuana media, so I'm Colorado-based, so I was writing for different rags, the Daily Doobie, which is a short-lived magazine, and then most prominently with the Hemp Connoisseur. And so with the Hemp Connoisseur, I would cover events, and then I pitched this idea of a marijuana advice column, because being a woman in this space, I think women play a very significant role in mainstreaming and really showing that it is a place for people, for everyday people, that it's something very comforting to have women around, and that kind of motherly aesthetic of, well, if mom says it's okay, if mom says marijuana is okay in these certain aspects, then it's okay. So there's sort of a moral compass that I think women bring to the issue. And so with the Hemp Connoisseur, and there was this idea, I wanted to write a marijuana advice column. And so Miss Manners, before she was Miss Manners in Victorian times, she was known as Lady Manners. So the title of my column was Ask Lady Manners. And so little did I know that for that year that I was writing, that actually would be a springboard for me to get a writing opportunity with The Cannabist, when The Cannabist, which is the Denver Post online marijuana site, started in January of 2014. And so I want to shout out to Ben, who's also a freelancer for The Cannabist. And like the freelancers, we do not formally represent The Cannabist. That's only something that Ricardo can do. And Ricardo's a journalist, and I consider myself a marijuana writer because I do come from, I'm very partial in my wanting marijuana to succeed. But in my writing for The Cannabist, it is another marijuana advice column. And so I'm using primary sources for my research, and I think that's a big distinction between a lot of marijuana media and mainstream media is... I think that marijuana media, the writer there's more of a tendency to put a personal spin and opinion in there. And that's something that in my work with The Cannabist, that it's that's something that has been a process of learning for me. That really came to light when I was writing about the issue of pregnancy and breastfeeding. Because this was really early on, this was in January, February, or March of 2014. And I was, bringing out, oh yes, Queen Victoria, have you all heard, that she used to use cannabis for her menstrual cramps and, thousands of years of use and help during pregnancy or labor. And Ricardo was like, no, you can't, what is the solid evidence of this? And so it really gave me a pause, and so I had to rewrite the column and look at what the actual sources of information were. And so I think that that's one of the differences between mainstream media and marijuana media. So I just want to also mention that most of the top kinds of questions that I field are related to drug testing. Will I pass my drug test? I smoked this, I've done this, it's been this number of days, I have a urine test, I have a hair follicle test, will I lose my job? Will I go back to jail? Will I pass my drug test? So that is the number one kinds of questions that I get. And then the second highest are a lot of at-home baking and how to properly dose at-home edibles and things that people are doing at home. And then usually if there's a question like the pregnancy and the breastfeeding, then there will be sort of an avalanche of questions for people sharing their own specifics in terms of that issue and then wanting a personal recommendation. So that's kind of me in a my writing in a nutshell.
You're listening to Century of Lies, a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. Now let's get back to that hemposium panel on cannabis and the media. The next voice you hear will be the panel moderator, Dr. Dominic Korva. He'll be followed, in order, by David Knott from Reason Foundation, Shango Lose from Ganjapreneur, me, and Susan Squibb, the cannabis maven.
So my first question is, I want to ask each of you to tell those of us here, who is your audience and how do you know when you reach them? Who is your audience and how do you know when you reach them? And that's a pretty general question, but I think you might get some different answers. We can start with David.
So Reason is a libertarian organization. We're interested in free minds and free markets. So drug policy is a component of that. We measure everything we can. We have 4 million unique visits a month to our website. Nearly half of them are younger than 35. So in every story we write, we track what kind of traffic there was to that story. All the editors have a leaderboard about who's winning audiences. So we see that stories that blow up are things like the parents who left their kids in the front yard while they went out to the grocery store and CPS came by and picked up the kids. Those stories will blow up big. Police abuse stories tend to blow up big. Curiously, people tend to feel more sympathy for the dogs that get shot by police than the humans that get shot by police, because they can't tell themselves that dogs aren't innocent. But when it comes to humans, they don't want to face the idea that that really could be happening. So that's our audience. It's we start with our core audience, but then we're trying to reach the world. So our staff do some 1,500 media appearances every year in external media. We track all of the media citations we get there from other sources. And I think to echo what Susan said, to me, it's not a question of mainstream versus marijuana media. It's about the aspiration in journalism is to truth-telling and to being on the record and to correcting the record if you get it wrong. And so I think that it's ultimately the value of the institution of media is the delivery of knowledge and information. And those publications that do that better will build audiences. And those that are actually more polemical or not actually media, but advocacy or just kind of storytelling and mythology tend not to be as successful in the institution.
So Ganjapreneur.com gets about 100,000 unique visitors a month, and my podcast gets about 30,000 listeners a week. And the audience is not lifestyle and music based. We really just cover business, entrepreneurs, and the law changes at the state level that will influence and affect entrepreneurs as they put together their business models. So we're pretty niche in that regard. As far as how we know when we're reaching our audience, this is actually one of the challenges, I think, in new cannabis media, and is that we judge our successes on likes and forwards and shares. And, you know, if we put out an article and it gets, you know, 1,000 shares and then it gets reshared and then, you know, it hits Feedburner and blows up or something like this, you know, we're excited because we are increasing our traffic. And that's how our advertisers also judge the success of their commercials or banner ads or what have you. But I think that that is different than actually reaching an audience. And I think that's one of the most dangerous things in online cannabis media is an over-reliance on clicks and likes to judge success instead of putting out meaningful articles. And it's something that we constantly, you know, as we issue the articles to reporters to go cover, it is a difficult thing on a daily basis to choose, do we want to go with the story that's going to get people riled up and excited and be clickbait, or do we want to report the thing that may not be as sexy, but people need to hear? And I think that all of the new cannabis media companies who are trying to not burn through capital, who are trying to just survive and are trying to build their brands, it's a constant struggle. And so how we judge how we reach our people now is by clicks and numbers, and I don't think that can be the future if we're going to succeed.
You know, I work in alternative radio. KBOO is an affiliate of the Pacifica Radio Network. The show I do, Century Allies, is also distributed by the Pacifica Network because the flagship station, the flagship show for the Drug Truth Network is Cultural Baggage, which is produced out of one of the actual Pacifica sister stations, KPFT in Houston, Texas. We are not, you know, okay, I'm not really worried about how many people are listening, because we're on the very much left side of the dial. And it's more about getting ideas out there and getting them circulating. And God, it's such an honor to be on this panel. It really is. You're brilliant. You're so, I mean, David, I've had, yeah, you're, and this is so cool. But it's not about what you were just saying, actually. It's exactly that. I mean, you can do a sensational story like the commercial networks do, which we don't do, or you can try and get, it's a little boring, but it's interesting and it's factual and it's the truth. And that is, sorry, I just wandered there for a moment. Oh yeah, the audience. I don't know. I got this friend. She's really skeptical, but she's really, really smart and quite brilliant. And if she likes the show, then I know I'm doing okay. And that's why during the thing, an interview, I always ask if people have any more, you know, any closing comments for the listener. She's my listener, and that's that's my audience. If I've convinced her, or at least entertained her, then I know I've done well. And frankly, if I see stories that I've been reporting getting picked up by other outlets and being regurgitated in other places without attributing anything to me, because I'm used to that, it's okay, because the ideas are out there. The great Peter Schickele had a saying which is so true: ideas are like pollen. Once they're in the air, you never know who's gonna sneeze. And that's what it's about, right? Obsessing on numbers, like I say, I like doing public radio. It doesn't pay, period. But you get freedom to talk about what's important.
So the cannabis has, not sure what the time in this, but it's 2 million page views. There was an article that came out in the Denver Post that had the stats for the cannabis site. But there's 636,000 unique visitors to the cannabis. And the audience is, it's a combination. It's a lot of, primarily it's people within Colorado, but it is a global resource for information. And it seems that, you know, just based on the coverage, that it's a combination of cannabis culture, strain reviews, product reviews, cooking recipes, but it's also just following the business scene and how it's unfolding in Colorado, and then also in other places too. But I do want to mention the importance, sort of like the decentralized media, and how important avenues like Facebook and Twitter have been, I think, to cannabis and spreading information. Like Amanda Ryman already posted, yeah, shout out to you, already posted about the panel on Facebook. And so it's a very powerful medium that, you know, it's not necessarily like a vetted source for information. People can, you know, post whatever articles, but it is a major transmission for cannabis information is on social media.
Can and how might, you know, the national media connect, draw from, or benefit from the grassroots media, and vice versa? Are there networks of information that can trickle up, trickle down? I don't know. I'd like to ask that geographical scale, really, of media reach.
It is a continuous challenge. So Radley Balco was a reporter for Reason Magazine, and he really was a one-man wrecking crew on criminal justice reporting. He got a guy off death row where there was just fraudulent forensics work in one state, and the medical examiner ended up resigning over his really great investigative reporting. And he was an important part of our franchise for some years. Well, he got hired away for way more money by the Huffington Post, and then now by the Washington Post. So the Washington Post, by hiring him, has taken a story and a niche that we owned and taken it now to the national stage. So we have to continuously innovate and compete with the Huffington Post and the Washington Post on one side. And then on the other side, we have Canopreneur, who's coming in and wanting to do the business stories. So there's this continuous struggle in media to deliver your something audience, to deliver to your audience news. Is it new information? Is it relevant information? Is it a compelling story? And is it, you know, truth and knowledge? So it's never stable. It's always moving. And then there's different audiences for different types of information. So our commercial side or our retail side is the Reason.com magazine side. However, we also produce more rigorous analysis that wouldn't get a wide audience, but it might get an audience of policymakers. So our policy expert on criminal justice reform was invited into Mississippi to testify to their Committee on Criminal Justice Reform on sentencing. And at that point, the audience gets very small, and it's actually this group of six people who are going to be deciding what their policy recommendations are in the entire state. So there's different layers in which you're marketing, and it's all, you're always selling to the best, either the biggest or most leveraged audience you can find.
In my experience, the new cannabis media companies are nimble, and if they exist in a state that is already legalized, we are tending to break a lot of the stories first. A lot of the national news sources aren't necessarily based in the cannabis scene. And so if something is going to break in Colorado or Washington, and their journalists may or may not actually be stationed there, they're going to, you know, it takes a little longer for the story to get to them. One of the stories that we broke here was when the new recreational market started testing positive for pesticides. And, you know, we broke that story at Gonjpreneur, and we were, you know, by the end of the day getting calls from national media, you know, to talk about it and to get our primary sources and things like that, and which we happily shared.
That was recorded last month at Seattle HempFest, a panel on cannabis and the media at the Hemposium stage. The panel moderator was Dr. Dominic Korva with the Center for the Study of Cannabis and Social Policy. The other panelists were Susan Squibb, the cannabis maven, Shango Los from Ganjapreneur, David Knott from Reason Foundation, and yours truly. More than 100,000 people braved the heat to attend this massive protestival. I hope to see you there next year. For now, that's all the time we have today. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Century of Lies. We're a production of the Drug Truth Network for the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network, on the web at drugtruth.net. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugwarfacts.org. The Drug Truth Network is on Facebook. Please give its page a like. Drug War Facts is on Facebook, too. Give it a like and share it with friends. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh, and of course, also at Drug Policy Facts. We'll be back next week with 30 minutes of news and information about the drug war and this century of lies. For now, for the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the century of lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.